I'm going to get started here. I'm really excited. Today I have James J. on the line. Are you there, James?
I'm here, Brenny. Good to be here with you.
This is so fantastic. I had the honor of going to China with James and Helen. Well, we were just talking 10 years ago. Seems like about two. So I'm going to give you just a short background on James, and we'll have links to his website, and you can get more information on him, and throughout the interview you'll find more out about him too. James is the co-founder, along with his wife Helen, of the Feng Shui Design Learning Center, and for over 20 years James trains hundreds of Feng Shui consultants through his Certified Feng Shui Professional and Certified Feng Shui Staging Program. We'll be discussing those at the end of the call. James has taught their programs in the U.S., Belgium, Spain, Mexico, and China since 1993. Must have started at a pretty young age there, James.
Thank you.
In addition, you know, they've been leading feng shui immersion tours into China. And like I said, I went in 2002, and it was one of the best experiences I've ever had. It went really smooth. We had a big group, but all I had to do is get on an airplane from America with a group, fly to China, and they had everything set up for us. It was wonderful. So the topic today that James is going to cover is a feng shui secret, six powerful techniques to dramatically stage a home. And a couple things he's going to cover is sell a home by enhancing its chi or life energy of a property with six simple steps, create more profit from any home sales using these proven techniques. We know that's important in this market. Six powerful must-dos that will work in any market, buyer or seller, and defy the economic blues by the feng shui secret to move any property to sold. Hey, James, how are ya?
I'm doing well, Brenny.
Fantastic.
I'm doing well.
Well,
yeah.
Let's get right going here so people can get some of this information. I do suggest you get a pen and paper. You may want to take some notes, or we will also have an offer where you can purchase the MP3s or the MP3s with the transcript. So here we go. James, can you tell us what home staging is? Many people may not know.
Yeah, it's really in the word staging. Probably somewhere in the 1970s, someone kind of coined the term. And it's a way of setting a stage, you know, a home that's for sale, kind of setting the stage so that when the buyer comes to look at the potential home that they want to purchase, they are met with welcoming arms. It sets the stage so that when they go in the home, it feels like the place they would like to purchase. So home staging is really focused on the buyer, not the seller. So it's really focused on setting up the home so that when a potential buyer comes in, they feel good, they feel relaxed, they feel enhanced, and therefore more likely to make that purchase.
So do you think that just little things like a coat of paint makes a difference when a buyer comes to look at a home? That could be the whole difference from them being interested in or just not even being able to see anything beyond peeling paint?
Absolutely. In fact, Home and Garden TV about 2 years ago had a panel of real estate agents, and they went over the 10 biggest mistakes that sellers make when putting their homes on the market, like, you know, hard to find the entrance, waiting till spring to put it on the market, you know, different things like that, trying to sell it themselves, picking the wrong agent. But the number one mistake that all of these real estate experts agreed on was not staging the home for a sale.
So when you say staging, does that mean things like having furniture in the home so they can envision themselves living there? What exactly does it mean?
Well, it means a couple things. One, it means to kind of depersonalize it a little bit so that when the buyer comes in, they don't see all of your stuff.
Oh.
They imagine their stuff there.
I don't want a picture of me on the wall when they walk in.
Right, exactly. They say, you know, there's a saying that buyers buy space, not stuff. So the more spacious you can make a home feel, the more likely it is to sell, but not so spacious that it's empty. So we do want to set something up. And there's a statistic that buyers spend an average of 3 to 6 minutes making up their mind whether they're going to buy a house or not.
Wow. So you got to grab them right away.
We have to grab them right away, exactly. And so feng shui, because of the ability to enhance the energy of a location, really works perfectly with home staging.
So what is feng shui home staging versus just when people say I'm staging a home?
Yeah, so staging a home is setting up the home, and there's a lot of tricks that stagers use to, you know, enhance the positive aspects of a home, kind of downplay the maybe, you know, the more negative aspects. But feng shui is all about energy. So by using feng shui, we can actually balance and harmonize and create a flow in the home. And so it actually increases the effectiveness of the staging. And everything is, you know, involved with this energy. And in feng shui, we call it qi, or life force. And so by bringing feng shui techniques into a home and balancing the energy and the life force, we actually move the property toward a quicker sale. Since everything is energetic, that's kind of the key. We want to create this energy flow so that the house also flows and then flows into the public and gets sold quicker. It's said that, like in 2011, staged homes, analyzing 410 staged homes, they sold in an average of 42 days.
Wow.
Without staging, thousands of homes were analyzed, and they were on the market an average of 156 days. So we know staging works, but by adding the feng shui component, we're getting even better results.
You know, James, I've been in real estate and been doing feng shui now for almost 13 years. And can you address for a moment, I know I have had a lot of people think that they have to have a bagua mirror or a money frog. So are you able to do feng shui home staging and people would not have to use specific Chinese items to change that energy?
Oh, absolutely. In fact, I discourage people getting anything that's too culturally indicative. So what I mean is if a person has a big, maybe a big religious symbol or, like you said, a well frog or, you know, something that's very Chinese, you want to kind of remove that from the home if you decide to sell the home because it can turn off part of the population. So in using feng shui, we don't want to turn everybody's home into a Chinese restaurant. You know, we want to be able to enhance the qi and create a sense of flow, but without having to use, you know, cultural knickknacks, so to speak.
Mm, good to know.
Yeah, because you can enhance, you know, the five elements, you can enhance the areas of the bagua, you can enhance the qi of a home without using any of those things, just with color, with light, with, you know, placement, and things that are sort of culturally neutral.
Yeah, I found that I do like Chinese things, but my home, by just the colors, sometimes you can maybe balance it a little too good. It's hard to get people out of here.
Yeah, right.
<It's just> comfortable.
That means you're good at it.
Oh, wonderful. So what are the advantages of adding feng shui to a home staging?
Well, again, like I said, it's all feng shui is all about energy. And so if we can create that sense of flow, that balance, and that harmony, then it allows the environment to support our life. And when our life is supported, it's easier to create the things like abundance and well-being that we all want. And also this balance and harmony can elicit positive emotional responses from people. And let's face it, when we're buying a home or making any big purchase, a lot of it is based on emotional response.
I can attest to that.
Yeah, absolutely. So if it makes us feel good, you know, that's why car, you know, automobile advertisements are 90% feeling. You know, they show the car going down the road and the hair flying in the wind and, you know, the slick lines of the vehicle because they're just trying to elicit the feeling that we would get if we drove that vehicle, not, you know, how many horsepower it is and that sort of thing. So we're doing the same thing with feng shui. We're creating a feel of flow so that when people enter the home, they get this kind of relaxation feeling or this comfort feeling and just helps them to get that positive emotional response.
And I think we've all walked into a place where we felt very, very comfortable, and we've also walked into places that, you know, even if you don't do feng shui, that sometimes you just don't feel right there. So you're saying we just want them to walk in and feel comfortable like they've already found their home.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Great.
That's the key.
Can you give our listeners maybe some tips that they could use to stage their own homes? Because I know we have a lot of people on the line that are either real estate agents or they've sent their buyers to listen to some of these calls, especially your call. So could you give them a couple pointers that they could do immediately and not have to have a feng shui consultant come to their home?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's something that I teach in my feng shui staging course that we call the Feng Shui Secret. And it's the S-E-C-R-E-T, or six must-do things to get your home sold quickly. And so I'll just go through each one. So the first one is S, and that stands for street. The second one, E, is entrance. C is create space and flow. R is room of first sight. And then T is transcendental. And so I'll go through each one of these and explain what they mean. So if we start with S, street, this is, you know, the first approach. It's often called curb appeal, okay? And if you don't have this appeal right at the street level, you'll never get anybody in the door. So like I said, people can spend 3 to 6 minutes deciding whether they like a place or not, and a lot of that is based upon their first impression. So we want to get the best first impression we possibly can. And if I'm doing a staging project and I go to a home, I like to drive by the home in a couple different directions so that I can see it from all the different angles. And then what would maybe strike a person positively, we want to enhance that. And what would strike a person negatively, we want to kind of downplay that.
So can I ask a quick question, just maybe some of our listeners? So curb appeal, are you talking about what it looks like when you drive up? Like, are there pretty flowers out there or a dead tree, that type of thing?
Yeah, first of all, you want to look at it. Is the place clutter-free? Okay, that's one of the number one turnoffs. You go up to the yard and there's kids' toys and maybe a broken-down car or, you know, some aspect that's really blocking that view. So we want to make the home shine, and there's really simple things you can do. You can go out and get a blacktop refresher to put on your driveway to make it look new. You can put some plants out there. We always recommend bringing in life force, plants and flowers. A very cheap fix, and it's very dramatic. Other things, too, the home may need painting. Okay, that's kind of a big project, but sometimes we get people that need to paint the exterior of the house because it just doesn't look good. And we always recommend going with traditional colors. In fact, most of the paint companies and the big hardware stores like Home Depot and Lowe's, will in their paint departments, will have what they call traditional palettes of paint. And those are colors that have been used, especially in the U.S., since colonial times. And they appeal to our senses. So we always recommend you want to reach the broadest audience you can. So you don't want to do the bright fuchsia or, you know, some of the more eclectic colors, because that's going to appeal to a smaller group of people. So we want to try to appeal to the broadest audience we can.
So even though the seller may absolutely love bright orange, you're saying to sell that house, we want to tone it down and have some type of neutral palette that will more people are going to say, hey, I like that. Instead of, they might love the house but be turned off by that bright orange?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, because you're cutting out a big percentage of your audience by sticking with that bright color. So the more neutral you can get it, the more traditional you can get it, the more people will be attracted to it. So it's a numbers game. And when you're selling your home, you're selling it, right? You're not doing this for yourself. You're doing it for the potential buyer.
Great.
So that's why you want to appeal, you know, to the broadest audience you can.
Thank you for that clarification.
Sure. So curb appeal is the first thing. So if there's any maintenance issues, any things that need to be fixed or repaired, that absolutely has to be done. Because buyers also do not want to come to a home and see that they're going to have to do work.
Exactly.
They want the work to be done.
So I got to tell you a real quick story. As I was actually showing a house in real estate and walking up, one of the rails was loose on the steps. It was a very nice home, and who knows why it was that way, but the people didn't even want to go inside. because in their mind they said, well, they must not take care of anything.
Right, and then so they're going to feel that once they go in, there's going to be other repairs that are going to be, you know, needed to be done if the home wasn't maintained.
Right.
Now, some of the feng shui things, too, we can add movement to the front of the house, and then we can do that with wind socks or flags or wind chimes. You know, get something that kind of moves that tends to create a little more excitement, a little more uplifting, a feeling of upliftment. Then also if they want to add like a sense of sacredness almost, you can put up a little arbor or a little gate that you walk through. And that always makes people feel like, oh, they're transitioning into something unique, you know, even sacred. If there's a pathway to the door, if we can kind of help, you know, keep it curving by using potted plants, or if they're actually going to put in a pathway, make it curve to the door. So we just want to create, you know, we want to have people pull up and go, oh, that's a beautiful place. I want to go see what the inside looks like. So we're always thinking in our minds, we're pulling people in. We're not pushing them away. That's the key thing there.
Great.
And then the next thing, so that's S. E would be entrance. And we in feng shui, we call this the mouth of qi. So this is where all the qi or life force enters the home. So you want to make sure that it's not blocked, that it's not in disrepair. I always recommend getting a brand new welcome mat so people feel very welcomed when they're coming to the home. People often paint their front doors red. That's sort of a traditional feng shui thing. And that, you know, could go either way, but it does give a sense of empowerment to the front door. Black is also a good color because it enhances the water element. And that this is an important element to enhance when you're trying to move a property. And it's always good to have your numbers displayed prominently, too, somewhere on the front of the home.
What if they're up or down? A lot of times I snare, like they start up in the upper left and go way down. Do you suggest that they have them all one level or going up? Any insight there?
You mean the numbers?
Yeah, when they pull up to the house.
That is not really that important. They can. I like to see them just level.
Okay.
But I thought you might have been talking about whether you step down to the front door or step up to it. Now that's an important thing. So if the home is below the grade of the road, that's considered a very negative feng shui aspect because you're not empowered. You have to move up to get into the world. Plus, other negative energy can fall down on you since you're below the road. So we want to do things to kind of uplift the house, and that would be like putting up maybe a flagpole at the peak of the home, pointing out with a nice colorful windsock or flag on it, even painting the trim a darker color than the rest of the house so that the trim stands out, makes it seem a little higher. And then also put some plants on either side of the door, some upward-growing, very vibrant plants on either side of the door, so that it kind of counteracts that sinking feeling as you go down. And plants are, you know, they have their own life force, so they also give that feeling of being lifted up.
Great.
Yeah, so that's important. So we want to pay attention to the door, because this is where everything comes in, all the opportunities. And it's, again, your second chance to get another first impression.
Right.
So if the door, just in feng shui, we consider the main door probably one of the most important aspects that we analyze. And then after that, C is to create flow and space. So again, I said it before, I'll say it again, buyers are buying space, not stuff. So you want the place to be as clutter-free as possible, not empty, but when a place is cluttered, it appears to be smaller. Plus, clutter blocks the flow of qi, so it blocks energy. So we want to make sure, you know, there's a clear path into the home, that there's a balance between too full and empty. So I call clutter visual noise, okay? So if I walk into a place and it's cluttered, it's screaming at me. Then again, if I walk into a place that's vacant, a vacant home, then that would be, you know, visually silent. So we want to find a balance between too noisy and too silent, because people walk into an empty home as well, then it feels lifeless. So a lot of times in an empty home, we'll bring in some props,
right.
You know, a bit of furniture, some plants, some artwork, some accessories, especially in the main rooms, the living room, the kitchen, the master bedroom, and bath. Those are sort of the three main focal areas that we concentrate on. So So we want to create this sense of flow. So clutter, I can't, you know, say it enough. Clutter really blocks everything, so we want to make sure it's clutter-free. Just a simple trick, like in a closet. So closets are also important. People look at storage space. That's an important aspect in buying a home. And if you simply put all your clothing in the closet neat, but go from dark colors near the door of the closet to light colors as you move into the closet, it makes it feel bigger.
These are just little simple things anyone can do, James.
Oh, very simple.
Great.
Very, very simple. They make a big difference.
Wonder how many people are cleaning their closets when they're done listening to this call.
Right. And even bookshelves, you know, if you arrange the books according to color rather than according to subject,
right,
it makes them look very neat and organized. And that's, again, another thing people want to see, organization and neatness. So that's creating flow. The next thing is our room of first sight. Okay, this is what you first see upon opening the door. You want to make sure that that's very, it's like a magnet. So you want it to pull the buyer in. So the first thing they see when they open it is maybe some blocking furniture or, you know, even a bathroom, something like that. Then that might be a little more of a turnoff than if they come in and they see a really, you know, inviting furniture set up into a living room. And we always want to think we're pulling people in. We never want to push them away. And that's just, in general, a feng shui concept. So we want to pull the qi in. We don't want to push it away. That's why we don't like to block any entrances with furniture, have our backs to the door, because that's a form of pushing away. So we want to have everything pulling it in. So this room of first sight is very, very important. We also want people to have a clear path to the rest of the home. And we can use color to draw the buyer's eye further and further. It's a very simple technique of pulling people back. So we can do it with accents, and we can do it with actual, you know, paint colors. But if we have like a bit of red, maybe, you know, as you walk in, maybe a red pillow on the couch, and then a red piece of art on the wall, maybe a red frame with some art, and then if the next room happens to be the kitchen, if there's a red plate or something displayed, then they're going to go boom, boom, boom. Their eye will go from red to red to red.
Well, that's simple.
Yeah, we call that a trail of color.
Love it.
Or a triangle of color to make their eye move around the space. So we use color a lot in order to enhance the qi and also bring people in.
That's great, James. And anyone can do this. So this is really good information. Short, simple, little, that does not cost a lot of money to anyone.
No, not really. They say staging, you know, your return on investment with staging, you get more return on investment with the simpler things you do. In fact, one of the biggest mistakes people do is before selling a home is to do some sort of remodeling.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that remodeling will not get nearly the return on investment that just doing the simple things, making sure the house is completely sparkly clean, making sure it's neat and organized, and depersonalized to you know, not completely, but, you know, at least get rid of a lot of stuff so that people can feel themselves. So these simple things bring back a bigger return on the investment. And one of the most dramatic ways you can change a space is just by putting a coat of paint on the wall.
Makes a big difference.
Oh, yeah, huge. And so we spend a lot of time in our staging course talking about the different, you know, color schemes that you can use in order to, again, pull people deeper into the home, give them a sense of comfort and well-being. And, yeah, color, painting is one of the most dramatic ways you can change any space.
It seems so much cleaner, too, once you put a coat of paint on. Even if the other one was not, I wouldn't say dirty. There's just something about a clean coat of paint. Maybe it's just the energy that is vibrating, but it just seems nice and clean when you walk into a newly painted home.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And, again, we recommend neutral colors. I'm sure some of the speakers you've had in the summit have talked about the Bagua and different areas of the Bagua. And you can introduce colors to enhance different areas of the Bagua as well. But you do want to keep them somewhat subdued. So it's that, you know, hitting the widest audience you can.
So just quickly, I know we're going to talk more at the end, but this class that you're talking about that you have online, is it for anyone? It doesn't have to be a certification like someone's going to go out there and sell this. This is a course for anybody that would want to improve their home using these feng shui staging tools?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Great.
And we have a lot of real estate agents doing it, interior designers, and feng shui practitioners, of course, because it's kind of a niche market for our feng shui practitioners to use our you know, special abilities in another way.
Yay.
Yeah. Okay, so moving along, so that's room of first sight, very, very important. You also want to have it very light. So I always, you know, recommend removing a lot of, you know, if there's heavy drapery or heavy blinds, make sure the windows are clean. Turn all the lights on in the house when you're showing it. So, and the more light we have, the more vibrancy we feel. Then, and there's different types of light. You can have an ambient light and just sort of the whole room is lit up. And then there's task lighting. So I always recommend three types of lighting in each room that's staged. So an ambient overall light, and that can come from the outside as well. And then task lighting, so directly over whatever particular task is done there. Let's say it's in the dining room, then you have a light directly over the table. And then we also have accent lights, maybe a light on the floor behind a plant or a light on a piece of art. And so it just, again, helps the eye move around the space and creates more of a sense of flow. That's really important. So that's room of first sight. You know, I can't stress that enough. That's what, when people open the door, that's going to be yay or nay. You know, it's going to be, I like the place, I hate the place.
Mm-hmm.
And then E is engage senses. So we want to try and positively engage all five senses. And the most important is sight, of course, because that's what people are going to, you know, see as soon as they walk in. That's going to be the most impactful on their senses. But also another sense that we pay close attention to is smell. So if there's any pet odors or, you know, kind of offensive smells in the home, you definitely want to deal with that, get rid of that, because that turns people off immediately.
I like the smell of popcorn.
Yeah, popcorn's a good one. Bread, you know, sometimes, I always recommend, you know, bringing essential oils or something that smells really good into the home when you're showing it, because then you're positively impacting their sense of smell. And, you know, if you have a bread machine, you know, turn it on. You know, that smell of baked bread or, you know, essential oils.
And I think that's going to help them remember that home more. You know, they'll say, oh, yeah, do you remember that home that smelled like fresh bread?
Exactly. So exactly. You know, the sense of smell is very powerful.
All right.
Very primal.
Anything else about smell you want to say, like things not to use? Are there some things, like people use certain incense or something? You don't want anything too strong or...
Right. No, I do not recommend incense at all. Although I like incense, I don't recommend it because we have people that, you know, are sensitive to smoke, for one thing,
right.
Fragrance for another. If you use pure essential oils, generally you're okay, but not overwhelmingly. Or you could brew some tea, maybe some spice tea. That's also a good scent. But you don't want to do, you know, spray a big room spritzer around or something like that, because that could offend somebody's, you know, sensitivity to fragrance. So you want to, you know, again, you're trying to walk this line of neutrality here, because you want to appeal to the widest audience you can.
Right.
And I also recommend, if you do have pets, that when you're showing the home, and I mean dogs, basically, especially big dogs, you might want to take them over to a friend's house or, you know, keep them outside or something, because some people also get a little nervous around, you know, animals like that. So that's another just little trick.
The big Rottweiler meeting you at the door is not too
right,
feng shui.
Yeah, exactly. But mainly it's the odor thing, so you got to really be careful of that. That's a big turnoff. Sound, it's good to, like, maybe play some nice, soothing, meditative music. Nothing too harsh, too loud, too brass, you know, something that's really going to soothe the person's sense of sound. It can also be a water fountain. I do recommend placing a water fountain somewhere near the entrance for a couple reasons. One, when you hear that sound of water, it's sort of a primal thing that really makes us feel relaxed, makes us feel, you know, comfortable. And also it enhances that water element, and especially if it's in the what we call the career sector or the kangwa of the bagua, then it also enhances that area of the bagua. And the water element, since it has a flow, it can increase this flow of the home towards a sale. So I generally recommend a nice little water fountain. And you can pick water fountains up now for under $25.
Yeah, anywhere, Walmart, Target, pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. We want to, the sense of touch, and that's textures. We don't want any really, abrasive textures in the flooring and the walls. And then taste, we can also offer treats and have some cookies, make it something that they can give them a good taste as well. So we're just thinking about enhancing their senses. And then the final one, T, is transcendental. And this is what I feel is really the most important aspect of our feng shui staging. And that's using the power of intention to increase the positive energy in the home. And that can be done with things like space clearing, which we also call chi adjusting. And there's many methods for that. We go through several of them in our online course. There's one pretty well-known one called the Rice Blessing, which you can do outside a home. And it's said to clear any negative energy that's there on the property. And it could be left over from maybe something bad that happened there or previous owners, residents. We just never know what this underlying energetic field might be. But by doing a chi adjustment or space clearing, we can actually lift the energy of the entire location. And again, it's very transcendental, but it's going to make people feel better when they come to the home. We also want to adjust the bagua. And the three really important areas for selling a home are the wealth, fame, and benefactors. So obviously wealth is important because we want to, get as much for our investment as we can. And then fame, we want people to know about the property. So we want to enhance that. And again, you don't have to use traditional objects. You can use color. You can use the element of the area. So for instance, in the wealth corner, you can put a nice healthy plant because that's the wood element. Or water, because water enhances wood. In the fame area, in the li gua, you can use the colors red, orange, purples, and it can just be an accent as well. And then we also want to enhance the benefactors or the qian area of the bagua, because benefactors are our buyers. Okay, they're bringing us the support we need to sell the property. So we want to enhance that area to get that support, to bring those customers in, those clients in, those buyers in.
You make it sound so simple, James.
It is simple.
I think it's just giving people a checklist and having, the information they need, because feng shui can be very deep, but it can be very simple also. Your presentation and the way your teaching style is, You know, there's probably people saying, well, this is really easy.
Yeah, well, just simple things. I mean, feng shui is based on thousands of years of observation and common sense. So all these things I'm talking about are purely common sense and good design, which is basically what, feng shui boils down to, is good common sense design. So in ancient times, if you lived in a river valley and your house was up on stilts, that was very good feng shui for the river valley, because when it flooded, you were above the water. But if you had that same design on the side of a mountain, maybe in an earthquake zone, well, that would be a horrible design, horrible feng shui, because the house would fall down if there was an earthquake. So it really depends, on the environment you're in, and just doing these simple common sense things can really make a big, big difference.
So can you tell us a little bit? I'm sure there's a lot of people on the line maybe that are interested. Can you tell us a little bit more about the Certified Feng Shui Stager?
Yeah, the Certified Feng Shui Staging Program is an online program. You can do it at your own pace. It's just under 10 hours in length, so you can do it over a weekend or, you know, a couple weekends. And it guides you through basically all the things you would do in feng shui that would be focused on staging. Okay, it's not a complete feng shui course, but it takes out those aspects of feng shui that would enhance staging. And then it also has a complete staging program with it. So what stagers do, even without the feng shui. So it's a pretty complete course, putting that all together.
And how much is that course?
It's normally $399.
I thought I read that wrong. I thought it was missing a one in front.
Yeah. Well, we could do that if you like.
$399? You're kidding me. Wow.
Yeah. And it's, you know, I price it that way, so I want to make it, you know, affordable for people, especially even homeowners, if they want to do it for themselves and, you know, be able to afford to do that as part of the thing. And it's all recorded, so it's not like I have to in person teach it over and over and over again.
Well, and that's good with people have such busy lives nowadays that they can just listen to maybe an hour and then go off and do something and come back and go on to the next part.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's all visual, so it's hard to teach feng shui without a lot of visual aids. So it's actually a series of video classes with examples.
People like visual anyway.
So yeah, visual is important.
Do you have any special offer that you can give to our listeners that are on the phone call for this course?
Yeah, I would say that anybody that's on this phone call and they would like to take this course, I will reduce it to $299. So they get $100 off.
Wow.
And again, it's the complete course, so, you know, there's nothing else that, you know, we try to get you to do beyond that. It's self-contained.
And they'll have it for life. They can review it all that they want. If they forget
Absolutely.
Something and go back, they can look at it. That's an incredible price, James. Wow, thank you so much for offering that.
Oh, of course.
So
my pleasure.
We will have a link to James' website for you to go get his discounted product, so don't even worry about that, and I'll send you an email out, too, after this call to remind you, so don't stress about anything there. James, what else do you have going on? You've got more training in Sacramento and Atlanta?
First of all, the China immersion program is coming up. I know this, people will probably be listening to this after the fact, but it's October 11th that we leave for China. And then, yes, I'll be in Sacramento.
Yeah, every year.
Yes, we've done it every year for the last 15 years. And it's what we call the Feng Shui immersion program. So it really gives people an experiential way of really feeling feng shui at its roots.
Yeah, it was incredible. James, is that on your website? Where would they go to find more information out? Maybe they want to check it out now and start planning for next year.
Yes, it's on our website, fengshuidesigns.com.
So that's an S on the end of design. Feng shui designs. I'm going to spell that in case you're not of feng shui.
Let me give them a shortcut.
Oh, great.
Yeah. It's F like Frank, S like Sam, D like David, I like India.com, FSDI.com.
There we go. Make it
Yeah,
simple.
A lot easier. Yeah.
And that'll be in the email also.
Yes.
Okay, then what do you have going on in Sacramento and Atlanta?
I also have my CFSP, Certified Feng Shui Professional Training Program that I do live. And I do it six times a year in different cities around the country. And it's a certification program. It's a five-day intensive. And we really focus on people who want to set up a professional practice of feng shui.
Great. So what else do you have coming up or anything else that you would like to share with our listeners today?
That's it for now. I just welcome people to come to FSDI.com and they can learn about our programs, our different educational programs. And if anybody's interested in becoming a feng shui consultant or doing feng shui staging, you know, it's the place to come. And we've got all the educational materials there.
And you can go to China with them once a year, too.
Yes. And yes, definitely. We love bringing people to China.
It's not like I was telling James, it's on my bucket list for next year again because I have missed it so much and had such a blast. I did more in the first day than I thought I was going to do in the whole 3 weeks we were there. So I highly recommend it.
Oh, great. Yeah, it's a wonderful experience because we really try to go to places that are, you know, not your typical tourist attractions, but really get into the heart of the people and the country, you know, and steer clear of the, you know, the politics and the, you know, the big touristy places, which can tend to get, you know, boring because you run into the same people in the same places and they're very crowded. But we like to try and get to the, you know, the off the beaten path to some of the more, you know, hidden away gems in the country. There's a lot of World Heritage sites in China that, you know, people hardly ever get to see. And just so much going on when you get away from the big centers of Beijing and Shanghai and, you know, the tourist cities.
Does everyone get to see the Great Wall of China, which is the thing that everyone thinks about China? Do you always go there?
Yes, we always begin the tour in Beijing. And there's some things that you have to see, especially in regards to feng shui, the Forbidden City, the Great Wall, the Temple of Heaven, mm-hmm. the Ming Tombs, and those are all in the Beijing area.
And yes, so I walked to the top of the Great Wall. It may have taken me a while, but I was no way going to China and not go to the top of that. it was a workout.
It's quite a hike, yes. It's quite a hike.
So I did it once, so next year I don't have to do that again.
You can sip tea at the bottom and wait for everybody.
That's what I'll be doing. Dan, it's been such a pleasure. Your teaching style, you know, you're a teacher of mine and a mentor of mine. I really respect you and Helen, and I'm so excited that you took time out of your super busy schedule to give us a little bit of taste of what you have in store for anybody that would like to follow you. And like I said, on my website, and I will send you an email, there'll be links to James' website, and you can download his free product and start looking around at all the fun things he has going on. And it's been a pleasure, sir.
Well, thank you, Brenny. Thanks for inviting me. I really enjoyed it. And hope to participate in any future summits that you put together.
And there will be future summits, people.
Excellent.
Well, you have a super day, and once again, I really thank you for taking time because I know you're a busy guy.
Thank you, Brenny.
Okay, bye, James.
Bye-bye.